Again, we'd like to turn to Psalm 23. In a series of living life in 23rd Psalm, we've looked at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, to live life in the constant awareness and assurance, the reality that the Lord is my shepherd. Those are really amazing words. The Lord is my shepherd. And we need to grasp the meaning, the depth of those words, and that leads to the assurance, I shall not want. I want to begin looking at verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. All through the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is presented as acting on behalf of the sheep, on behalf of you and I, the saved. So the psalm is a manifestation of His ability, His provision for us, His wisdom toward us, His goodness toward us. And again, in the opening words, the Lord is my shepherd, it begins with the watchful care of God for His own. That's where the psalm begins, as far as the Lord acting on behalf of His people. And the remainder of the psalm, this watchful care of God is illustrated, and it's personally experienced by the sheep. And again, the Lord is our shepherd. We know that He watches over us. We all have that knowledge that God watches over us in a special way. We need to experience that as well. We need to experience the reality of that every single day, feeling the Lord watching us, feeling the Lord watching over us. So, as you read the 23rd Psalm, it's really an imagery of beauty and comfort from the view of one of the Lord's sheep, and it's a testimony of assurance and satisfaction from one of the Lord's sheep. Again, the comfort and the satisfaction of the sheep is clearly stated, I shall not want. Lord is my shepherd, that's comforting. Then there's this assurance, this confidence, because He's my shepherd, not because of anything in me, but because He's my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. In other words, He's sufficient. He's all that I need. So we have this comforting satisfaction and assurance of the shepherd's care, which all, of course, brings beauty to one's life when we know these things. And the beauty and the comfort and the assurance and the satisfaction has its basis in a connection, an intimate relationship with the Lord. It doesn't just say the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is the shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. So it begins with a connection with the Lord. There is a relationship with the Lord. Without that, the psalm is just poetry. Beautiful poetry. And to the world, that's what it is. It's beautiful poetry. You can't hardly go to a funeral without hearing the 23rd Psalm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Listen to the 23rd Psalm as many times as someone wants to repeat it. But what is sad is that most people who read the 23rd Psalm or quote the 23rd Psalm have never experienced the 23rd Psalm. And in order to experience it, it begins with this connection, this relationship with the Lord. Everything in the psalm flows out of this simple statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." Everything else said in the psalm flows out of that statement. You take away that statement, you have nothing. You have no basis. But "the Lord is my shepherd." Flowing out of that is "I shall not want." The reason "I shall not want" is because the Lord is my shepherd. Again, it all goes back to that. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Again, it goes, the reason I can lie down in green pastures is because the Lord is my shepherd. It goes back to that relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Flowing out of that is "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And again, we enjoy that because the Lord is our shepherd. Again, flowing out of "the Lord is my shepherd, he restoreth my soul." There's restoration. And restoration is found in the shepherd. There's no restoration outside of the shepherd, outside of a relationship with the shepherd. This restoration flows out of this fact: the Lord is my shepherd. So if the Lord is my shepherd, he restoreth my soul. That means that there is restoration, but again, it's in him. The Lord is my shepherd. Flowing out of that is "he leadeth me in paths of righteousness." There are paths of righteousness. You and I do not go there by nature. It's not our inclination by nature to go in paths of righteousness. We need to be led to paths of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. And everyone who has the Lord as his shepherd has restoration of soul. Everyone who has the Lord as shepherd is led into paths of righteousness. You think about individuals who profess salvation and yet they seem to have absolutely no clue concerning a path of righteousness. None. But if the Lord is their shepherd, he leads in paths of righteousness. The shepherd always does that. Doesn't just do it for a handful of his sheep. He does it for all his sheep. He leads in paths of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. There in verse 4, therefore he's with me. He's with me. The presence of God with us flows from this fact: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd. Flowing out of that is he prepares a table before me. The reason there is a table, the reason that table is set before us, is because the Lord is our shepherd. Flowing out of that also is he anoints our head with oil. Everything flows from this fact: the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, my cup runneth over. There are no spiritually overflowing cups without this relationship with the Lord, without this assurance: the Lord is my shepherd. Flowing out of the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because the Lord is my shepherd, we know that in everything is the goodness and mercy of God. And then also flowing out of this, we have, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you see, the 23rd Psalm paints a picture of the blessedness of God's people. But what we need to realize is this blessedness has its basis in the Lord, but has its basis in a relationship with the Lord, a connection with the Lord. You do not live estranged from God and enjoy Psalm 23. You do not live estranged from God and live life in Psalm 23. There has to be this relationship. So you have the blessedness of God's people illustrated. You have the riches of God's people. But all of that is just, again, poetry, and it's all missed apart from this relationship with the Lord. Now, as you read the 23rd Psalm, again, it's a picture of the blessedness of God's people. And there is a danger that we all must face, and that is, if we're not careful, we can focus and become so occupied with the blessings that we lose sight of the one who gives the blessings. The blessings are never more beautiful, never more important than the one who gives the blessing. That's what's central. The blessing is not the central thing. The central thing is the Lord. First two words of the psalm, that's the central thing. The Lord. So we must be careful that we do not just look at the blessings and forget the giver of the blessings, who, of course, is the shepherd. So, the life that God has called us to live, every bit of it, every aspect of it, is in relation to the shepherd. And any religion, any teaching that bypasses a relationship with God is empty. It's empty. There has to be this relationship. So reading through the psalm, we see the person of the Lord. We see the person of the shepherd. We see the activity of the shepherd, and that's paramount throughout the psalm. The paramount thing is the person of the shepherd, the activity of the shepherd toward the sheep. And we, the sheep, are the beneficiaries of the person of the shepherd. We are the beneficiaries of the work of the shepherd. And he starts here in verse 2, being the beneficiary of the person and work of the shepherd, he causes us to rest. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That is, he causes us to rest. And we're about to get into what all that means. He also guides us into that which is pleasant. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's a picture of a pleasant walk. Now the order is significant. He provides us this rest, this peace, and then he leadeth us beside the still waters, which is a pleasant walk. It's not by the raging rivers, which would frighten the sheep. It's by the still waters. Very pleasant walk. And something is wrong if our so-called walk with the Lord is not pleasant. We're missing something. If He is the one that's leading us, that means our eyes are upon Him. Our eyes are upon Him, and He leadeth us beside the still waters. So, He guides us to that which is pleasant. We all know by experience we can get out of sorts. But he restores us. Verse 3. He restores us. And then what does he do? He leads us into right paths. He doesn't lead into wrong paths. The shepherd doesn't lead to paths that are going to be destructive to us, that are going to ruin us. He leads us into paths of righteousness. They may cause us some pain, but they're not meant to ruin us. They're not meant to destroy us. There's something wrong with a child of God's view of God if he looks at God as someone who just can't wait to just lower the hammer. I mean, that's a pretty skewed view of a shepherd. He leads us in right paths. Verse 4, he causes us to feel his nearness. This is what the shepherd does. We're the beneficiaries of his person. We're the beneficiaries of his activity. He causes us to feel his nearness. There shall be the valley of the shadow of death. But the shepherd's there. And he causes us to feel his nearness. And also he comforts us there in verse 4. Comforts us by his nearness. That's one of the ways that God comforts, is by causing us to be aware of his nearness. There's nothing more comforting than to know that God is there. That God is there. That there's comfort in that. You can take all the comforting words that people offer, and there's nothing wrong with that, but none of that can compare to just knowing that God is there. And God is with me. So we're the beneficiaries of his person, of his activity. He provides a table before us, verse 5, and he anoints and refreshes us. He follows us in goodness and mercy. And we see also we have a blessed future. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And again, it all goes back to the Lord is my shepherd. So it is the realization that we are the blessed beneficiaries of the person and work of the shepherd that results in these statements: I shall not want. I shall not want. My cup runneth over. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again, the main thought is the Lord is my shepherd. The result of that thought, I shall not want. And then this is meditated upon throughout the rest of the psalm. Now in verse 2, there are green pastures and there are still waters. Two things: green pastures and still waters. The sheep need green pastures. The sheep need still waters. The sheep, the nature of a sheep, they're not going to find those green pastures by themselves. They need to be led. So there are these green pastures. There are these still waters. Both are very beneficial and needful to the sheep. And the shepherd acts on our behalf and brings you and I, the sheep, to experience the green pastures and the still waters. It's not enough just to know that there are green pastures and still waters. The shepherd brings us to experience these things. He brings us to the point where we benefit from the green pastures and the still waters, where we enjoy these things. Green pastures and still waters. So we'll spend a little bit of time looking at these two things: green pastures and still waters. We'll begin with the green pastures. The green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. They're spoken of in the plural. It doesn't say, he maketh me lie down in green pasture. That's true. But he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, conveying the idea that there is a variety of these pastures. There's an abundance of them. There's a plentifulness. He knows where they all are. The health and the nourishment of the sheep require these pastures. Sheep cannot survive without these pastures. Four times in the Word of God, we read of the pastures of the wilderness. Four times we see that phrase. Notice Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 12. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. That's the goodness of God, droppeth upon the pastures of the wilderness. We also read of those pastures of the wilderness in the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 20. They're mentioned in each one of those verses. So that would be the second and the third time. And then we see it again in Joel chapter 2, verse 22. The pastures of the wilderness. So, the world, of course, is the wilderness, suggesting that the world is a place of desolation. The world is a place of bareness. It's a place of restlessness. It's a place of unsettledness, a place of weariness, exhaustion. But there are places, there are pastures. Pastures of the wilderness. That is, in the midst of the wilderness, where you wouldn't expect to find these pastures, there are the pastures of the wilderness. And these are places of oasis for sheep. So in a world filled with enemies and trouble and difficulty and suffering and affliction and problems and disturbances and strains and stresses of all kinds, there are these pastures, plural, places of oasis for the sheep. And the pastures are not distant from these things that characterize the world. They're in the midst of the desolation, and they're in the midst of the barrenness. It's the pastures of the wilderness. And what's so different about these pastures is they are green. The pastures of the wilderness, and they are green, which they're not dried. They're not withered, like all that is around them. Everything in this world is dried and withered, spiritually speaking. It's barren. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all that's withered and dried and barren, there are these pastures, and they're green. Quite different from everything that's around it. So you see, we can be surrounded by all these, by the wilderness, but we have a shepherd that knows where the green, where the pastures of wilderness are. And he leads us to those pastures. And he makes us to lie down in those pastures. And all this other stuff is going on all around the pasture, but the pasture is not affected. That's for the sheep. So we'll enlarge more upon that, but he, the shepherd, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And a shepherd does that for his sheep every day. It's not just an ever so now and then type of thing. It's every day. And every day we're to lie down in the green pastures. Experience everything that is represented by that statement. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you are a shepherd. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the assurance that you are a shepherd and that we live our lives in the presence of you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to enjoy the lives that you've given us because of who you are, because of what you do in our behalf. Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the 23rd Psalm. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us that are saved knows something about it. We have experienced it in our lives, and we pray, Lord, that you would cause us to experience it more and more on a daily basis. We do pray for the lost that are in our midst. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts, that you would open their hearts to salvation. And Lord, that you would help us today to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.